This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. We had a panel discussion today, moderated by Dr. Suzette McKinney, on the Illinois Medical District area. Dr. McKinney was joined by Andrea Zopp, the CEO of World Business Chicago, and Michael Deerdorf, who is the president of the Rush University Medical Center. The Illinois Medical District, located on the near west side of Chicago, is one of the largest urban medical districts in the United States. The panel discussed people, places, and potential. They see the medical district as a collaborative community to provide medical care and innovation for the citizens of Chicago, the residents of the near west side, and perhaps even worldwide implications. The Illinois Medical District is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year environment. Covers 560 acres. 40 healthcare-related facilities are located within the Illinois Medical Center District. Several universities, a biotech business, and incubator. The Illinois Medical District, the panelists discussed, is a reshaper of medical practice and medicine and improved community relations for the near west side of Chicago. Led by Rush, the Medical Center District, the University of Illinois, and other facilities in the area, they are creating new opportunities for employment for west side residents, transportation innovations, including upgrading of the blue lines, and a special bus that will serve the Medical Center District, opportunities for career advancement, and entrepreneurial opportunities for people who want to start businesses in that west side. One of their goals, as they said, if you live in the loop of Chicago, your anticipated age of living is to the age of 85. Currently, in the medical center area, it is only 69. They hope through these efforts, collaboration and community, to increase the life expectancy of west side Chicago residents.
Good afternoon, and thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mazur, for that wonderful introduction, and thank you all for being here today. Before I get started, I have so many people that I want to thank, because I have to tell you, after coming off the road last night, I've been on the road for 3 weeks straight. I did not get here on my own. So let me first start by thanking our Board of Commissioners for being here. Commissioner Corey Foster, Commissioner Juan Morado, thank you so much for your continuous support and all of your engagement at the IMD. There is more BGM in this room than I know what to do with, so thank you all, lovely ladies, for being here. I'd also like to thank the Illinois Medical District staff. I have the most fantastic team in the world. They're sitting in the back of the room, so I appreciate all of you for being here. And in addition to our internal IMD team, our PR team from Rise Strategy Group is here. Our community relations team from Tate & Associates is here. Our banking team from Signature is here. Our real estate team from CBRE is here. And I have more lawyers than I know what to do with. So my general counsel is here, and several of our teams from Reyes Kirsten, Riley Safer Homes, and Cancilla, Foley & Lardner, and Holland & Knight. Thank you all for being here this afternoon. It is a great honor to be back at the City Club. 2 years ago on this stage, I outlined our vision for building the Illinois Medical District of the future. It was a vision of the world-class medical campus that our patients, students, residents, and healthcare professionals deserve. So many of the goals that I outlined that day have been achieved. In fact, many of the goals that I shared with you just 1 year ago, when I unveiled our plan to create the world's next great healthcare innovation district, have already been achieved. We have gotten out the message that the IMD is a thriving, growing community of health, technology, and science organizations doing unparalleled work. And we've drawn in more organizations to join us. We forged new partnerships, fostered greater collaboration among our existing partners, and brought innovation to a community that desperately needs it. Every day, we are inspiring those around us to create the best opportunities possible for community members to access our resources and live their best lives. We've already spent the last few years dramatically ramping up utilization, and the results have been incredible. We started by successfully positioning the IMD using a real estate proposition that the IMD is the location, location, location where you want to be. And developers, businesses, and organizations immediately saw the value in our proximity to the Loop and downtown and our access to talent and transportation. Our partnership and work with the CTA have yielded phenomenal results. The renovation of the IMD station on the Blue Line is nearing completion, as is the launch of the IMD's new contract shuttle. This new shuttle, which will be operated by CTA, represents the very first shared service in the IMD and will transform how people travel to the district and within the district every single day. As our work is always grounded in economic growth and expansion, we are also excited about the cost savings that our IMD stakeholders will realize as a result of the implementation of this new service. In the past year, we have also seen the construction on the Gateway development get underway, as well as the opening of the Cook County Health and Hospital System's new ambulatory health center. And we've also demolished a dilapidated building that had long been an eyesore in the community. We've engaged a new developer and joint venture team to locate a new fast casual restaurant on that site, bringing a welcome but unexpected additional amenity to the district. We were thrilled that the IMD was among one of the top sites under consideration for location of Amazon's new HQ2. And from today's announcement, it's obvious that we no longer remain a finalist, but our inclusion for consideration speaks volumes about not only how far we have come, but also the realization of where we are today. At the crossroads of where healthcare, technology, placemaking, and economic empowerment all collide. But now, it's time for the next phase of our development, in which we're guided by an even bigger idea. The idea that we're not just an attractive parcel of land or a strategic place for developers to make a mark. We are, above all, a place that aims to heal the sick, and we never lose sight of that. Some of the people in the IMD might heal the sick in a very practical, hands-on way, by seeing patients. Some might have a longer-term approach to healing the sick, by working tirelessly in a laboratory, staring through a microscope, and searching for the secrets to diseases that cut lives short every day. And some might take a more abstract but no less meaningful approach to healing by studying the societal and cultural factors that lead one community but not another to experience illness in ways that are significantly disparate compared to other communities. In any case, we're all here in this urban environment where we witness some of the most intractable health problems, but also because of the sheer numbers of humanity that surround us, and we have the opportunity to make a tremendous impact. Our environment is teeming with community organizations with deep expertise and a desire to collaborate on solving these problems. That's why we at the IMD see healthcare in a different way than many practitioners do. We see it as a tightly integrated network of health, social, and economic resources that can together transform urban healthcare for good. The IMD is where healthcare intersects with community impact, with some compelling results. As you'll see in just a few minutes, the IMD has partnered with a diverse range of organizations and business in pursuit of our common mission. We've brought a couple of them here today. There's Rush University Medical Center and Westside United, an initiative started by Rush that is working to address the life expectancy gap between the Loop and Chicago's West Side. Today, a resident of the Loop has a life expectancy of about 85 years. But in West Garfield Park, just a few miles away, that number drops to 69. That's a shocking disparity, and it's going to take time to close it. But this is exactly the kind of visionary, world-changing work that happens every day in the IMD. Even organizations that aren't directly related to health understand what the IMD offers to Chicago and the world. We've been working closely with World Business Chicago to get connected to businesses that can help power the IMD and make sure that we're lifting up other Chicago businesses and building a healthier, more prosperous Chicago economy for everyone. You'll hear more about each of them in a moment. Many of you have heard me repeatedly state my mantra to make no small plans. That said, you won't be surprised that future plans for the IMD are bigger and bolder than anything we've done in the past. As we seek to make the district a better place for people who live, work, learn, and will soon play there, we're also exploring infrastructure and technology improvements that will advance the user experience in every way imaginable. We've come to understand that cities across the world are now forced to evolve and adapt their existing infrastructure and services to accommodate the accelerated growth in population and connected technologies. In general, cities across the country are recognizing their infrastructure and services are singular and static with limited or no scalability, causing difficulties with both the management of current issues and with resolving future requirements without becoming connected and intelligent. As a result of this discovery, the IMD is rethinking technology and services and challenging our district to become smart. Our smart district, similar to a smart city, will be the first of its kind in the country that connects residents, technology, and city services to ensure both the public and private sector are more efficient, more effective, and more responsive to citizen needs. This work will create a visible impact that is measured by people through citizen engagement, transformed infrastructure, and improved services. It will lead to some big changes in the way that we operate and in the lives of the people we serve. We'll use predictive analytics to make smarter decisions, which will improve the way we manage the entire organization. Our new financial modeling will show us places where we can generate new revenue and cut expenses by finding new efficiencies in smart infrastructure, and it will help us to scale our services in a sustainable way. Finally, we'll be able to offer services that enhance quality of life in the IMD, like more public Wi-Fi, digital kiosks, a 5G mobile network, and intelligent lighting. We've started envisioning what it looks like to become a smart district, and we will release our full strategy in the first quarter of 2019. So as you can see, our vision for the IMD has always been driven by our desire to change the world, the city, and the neighborhood down to the block. We're thrilled to have found partners who see their work in the same way and share our grand vision for working together to transform the future of urban healthcare. I've invited two of our partners to join me today, and at this time, I'd like to ask Andy Zopp, President and CEO of World Business Chicago, and Michael Dandorf, President of the Rush System and Rush University Medical Center, to join me on stage. Thank you both for being here today. So, Andy, as you get situated, I'd like to ask you to share with our audience today some of the work that World Business Chicago and the IMD have been collaborating on and the importance of how this work is impacting the community.
Thanks, Suzette. Thanks for having me here. World Business Chicago, for I think everyone here knows, is the city's economic development organization. We're focused on growing the city and bringing companies here, helping companies that are here expand, and promoting the city globally and internationally. But we have also, in the last couple of years, really focused on thinking about how that growth can be more inclusive, and really recognizing that having a thriving central business district or a near west side is good and great for the city, but it's not enough, particularly if we have neighborhoods that are not working. And so we have been working on a number of neighborhood strategies with a number of institutions, including the IMD and hospitals in the IMD, our anchor institutions there. And there are a few of them that that I'd like to talk about in particular. The first is CASE, which is Chicago's Anchors for a Strong Economy, which is a program that came out of the mayor's plan for economic growth and jobs, and is really focused on taking anchor institutions like the anchor institutions in the IMD and working, connecting them with locally based businesses to create procurement opportunities. We've been very successful with that. We have 17 anchors, including the core members of West United, West Side United, in the IMD, who are working with us to connect local businesses to their procurement opportunities. The second thing that we're working on is the Evergreen Laundry Cooperative. So we're working with a number of anchor institutions, particularly Rush, an advocate hospital, who've been taking the lead to build a laundry cooperative, to take all that laundry that hospitals have and put them to an employee-owned business that will build on the west side and run it out of the west side to create jobs, entrepreneurship education, and really take that core business and bring it right, those dollars that are being spent elsewhere, bring them right back into the west side. That is a program, actually the Evergreen program came out of Cleveland, that's being run there now, and with one hospital supplying the laundry there, they have over 200 employees in their laundry. We're going to have, right now we have five hospitals that have committed to participate in this laundry, so we're really excited about the job opportunities. We hope to have that up and running in 2020. And we're working on the business plan now. And the third program is something called MAP, which is a program where we are taking entry-level employees at five of our anchor institutions, including Rush, and connecting them. So here's the problem. So we have a lot of hospitals have a lot of entry-level employees, hourly employees. They come in, they clean, they cook, but they don't have pathways into salaried jobs. And what does that mean? That means they're stuck in hourly wage jobs with no real thought about how do I get out of this to really rebuild, start building the middle class. And if we don't think about how we create middle class job opportunities for individuals living in neighborhoods like the IMD and around the IMD on the west side, then it's really hard for us to really fulfill our goal when we're rebuilding neighborhoods. And so we spent some time talking to our anchor institutions and thought through how do you create pathways for your employees. So we have a pilot that we're running this year. We had over 300 people apply to participate in this pilot, hourly wage plan. So we have 30 people from five different hospitals that are we are paying for them to go to Malcolm X to get their medical technician training. They also get wraparound support services. And when they complete that program, they're all guaranteed jobs. And the idea is we'll run a second cohort early next year, but the idea here is really to create a package that we can work not just with anchor hospital institutions, but also with other businesses that have entry-level employees that they're thinking about how could you maybe and take an employee who's on your security crew and move them into IT training, right? All kinds of programs partnering with city colleges, but the pilot is with our anchor institutions, particularly our partners in the IMD.
Thank you, Andy. So, Michael, moving to you. Yes.
Round of applause for Andy. Thank you.
So, Michael, between you and Drs. Goodman and Ansel, the Chicago business and civic communities have heard a lot about Westside United. But can you share your perspective today on how healthcare and community impact are converging in the IMD and how that is playing out in partnership between Rush and the IMD?
Sure. First, I'd like to thank Suzette McKinney for both her partnership and the energy that she's brought to the IMD. I think, you know, we've certainly enjoyed our partnership so far,
yes.
And we have a long partnership that we're looking forward to in the future in terms of our work together, particularly around your vision of creating an innovation district that's going to create jobs and create momentum on the West Side. And that's one area that we're particularly interested in continuing to partner with. So, thank you, Dr. McKinney.
Thank you.
As you saw on the map, a couple of years ago, in one of our strategic planning discussions, we were updating our community health needs assessment. And you saw the health disparities and the life expectancy difference between the Loop and Garfield Park. And that struck us as something that we, as the largest employer on the West Side, had an obligation to address. But we also knew that there was no way that we were going to be able to address that all on our own. And we started to plan about what was really underneath that health disparity, that life expectancy difference. And what we learned was it wasn't just about healthcare. And there's some great healthcare institutions on the West Side that are committed to providing access and services on the West Side. But what we really learned were there were social determinant issues. There were environmental issues, food deserts, and access to healthy food locations. We also learned that there were some education issues, and we needed to better invest in educational institutions and partner with them, somewhat in the pipeline programs that we just talked about. How do we take students from high school and elementary school through high school and college and create a career for them on the West Side? And provide opportunities for that as well. And we also know that the leading indicator from a health disparity perspective is poverty line. And so economic development becomes critical if we're going to close that life expectancy gap. So we set a goal that by 2030, we will reduce that life expectancy gap in half. And that was a commitment by West Side United, which many of you have heard about, which is really a collaboration of over 100 companies and institutions right now, all focused on the same thing. How do we improve the environment on the West Side? How do we create more jobs? How do we develop further those on the West Side, which is going to create an incredible amount of opportunity for public-private partnerships and collaboration in the Illinois Medical District and beyond, but really to think of ourselves as a catalyst of that economic development and pipeline. And I'll use a couple of examples. We have committed as part of a West Side Anchor Collaborative of other institutions, the IMD, Strozier, Loretto Hospital, Illinois University of Illinois and others, Presence. Lori is involved in that as well. To hire from the West Side, and not only hire entry-level jobs from the West Side, but give developmental opportunities for those individuals to create a career. We've also committed to purchase and turn to the West Side for purchasing opportunities overall. If the laundry service may be one, construction's another one. How do we hire and create opportunities for internships and apprenticeships and working with our partners in the construction industry to make sure that we're creating opportunities for people to create careers in the construction field. But we've also, as part of that pipeline program, I'll use an example of our chief information officer who developed a program with Epic, which is our electronic health record. And they have now certified about 30 students from the West Side that are now Epic certified. These are students in high school that are going to come out of high school with the opportunity to create $60,000 a year careers as a start coming out of high school. And that was really driven by our chief information officer finding an opportunity to create an impact. And that's the start of some of that work. I'd also say one of the other things that we're committed to is investing in the West Side to create entrepreneurship opportunities for people that want to start businesses that can create a sustainable path. But we want them to create that in the West Side, which will also create additional jobs. So we've committed to invest between $2 and $2.5 million a year in entrepreneurship opportunities in investment on the West Side. And we know not every institution that is part of that anchor community and collaborative will be able to do that, but we really want it to be out there leading with that, and in large part due to the partnership with Dr. McKinney and the IMD.
Thank you,
Michael. So thank you.
So what I hope you all are realizing from what both Andy and Michael spoke about is not only are we working collaboratively to create opportunity on the West Side for residents as well as for small businesses, but we are also doing so not in a vacuum, but instead we are being as inclusive as we possibly can by engaging community members and engaging small business owners in that work and in developing those strategies and approaches. So I would just ask each of you to just very quickly, a few seconds, give our audience an understanding of what you're hearing from your employees that are in the entry level advancement program, from residents, and even from small businesses in terms of how they are feeling about their inclusion in this work and the opportunities that it will bring to them.
So I'll start. I'll start with the medical assistance program, MAP. You know, as I said, it was way oversubscribed, and we literally had employees coming in who were applying to participate saying that this was a life-changing opportunity for them. And the thing is, like, lots of companies have tuition programs, but think about it. You're working an hourly job, sometimes two. You've got family to take care of. Who has time to go figure out what program you're going to be in, what classes you have to take, how you're going to do it? And so we are literally opening up that door, and they're finally seeing that chance to have that opportunity to move up. So it has been fairly profound. It's also hard. So we're providing some wraparound services for the participants, but so far everybody has stayed in, and they're doing well. Our businesses are excited to have the opportunity. We're working hard to expand the pool of opportunity from our anchors. But what I would say is that we have work still to do. But I think that what people are seeing is real connection with the large institutions that are standing there in their communities to create real pathways for them for opportunity.
Mike, any additional comments?
Sure. One of the other things that we've done is we've hired some folks within our HR department to recruit specifically to the West Side and identify opportunities for us to create additional diversity in all levels of the organization. And that was really a very intentional position to help us grow that. What we've seen is an incredible amount of engagement with individuals because they're now involved in programs and they see that if they want to grow their career, that they can get into other opportunities. Some of those are collaborations with Malcolm X College, where they may be able to go back to school and get an associate's degree, or collaboration with Malcolm X, where they may start at Malcolm X College and then transfer after their 2 years to go on for additional training within Rush University as an additional opportunity. And we're creating very specific programs to continue to train and develop educational processes. And this is really a commitment from Rush University and continuing education and training in place of a healthcare workforce, which is one of the aspects of our economy that is growing the most, given the aging population and the healthcare needs. So really thinking about how do we leverage our university to really be a contributor to the issues within our community. When we were looking at our community needs assessment, there were 10 neighborhoods that we focused on. And we actually talk about our internal workforce as our 11th neighborhood and really are very, very focused on opportunities for them to continue to grow their careers for those that are interested in that. And it's free of charge for our employees. We're not charging them additional funds. So even things like if they're going somewhere else, while we have some support programs for tuition reimbursement, say, what we've often found is if we just reimburse for those services or for that educational experience, somebody can't put the cash out of pocket. So we actually front that money now with a commitment for those individuals, because that was a barrier for people to take advantage of some of those benefits that we already provide. So it's those small things that we're getting a lot of incredible feedback from our employees of some pretty small things that we can do that really drive engagement, loyalty, and most importantly, career growth and economic growth for the community.
Excellent. Andy and Michael, thank you both for being here today. I'd like to ask you to remain on stage as we prepare for the audience Q&A. But I just glanced down at my notes and realized I would be remiss if I did not also mention the great folks at ComEd for their partnership as well in the IMD. So as I close, I want to share an exciting opportunity that I believe will energize the real estate and development community even further. During the last year, we have performed a comprehensive analysis of IMD's programmatic needs and goals, available assets, and standing financial position. And we've concluded that the best method of spurring business, technology, infrastructure, and economic development is through public-private partnerships. These types of partnerships have the benefit of leveraging private resources against the control of IMD assets, as well as the newly improved financial sustainability of the IMD. A form of these partnerships is inherent in the newly created qualified opportunity zones, and the most attractive zone in Chicago sits in the southern portion of the IMD. Qualified opportunity zones have emerged as a promising new mechanism to induce long-term investment in low-income communities through tax incentives. They encourage developers to make investments in these zones and roll the proceeds of their capital gains into a fund. Investors then get a reduction in the initial capital gains through a 15% step-up in tax basis, with payments deferred until the year 2026. After a minimum 10-year hold, no capital gains are owed on any profits from the fund investments. That means one thing. There are going to be a lot more people competing for space in the IMD. If the IMD was a good investment before, it's an incredible investment opportunity today. That's why we want to hear from you. We're looking for bold, creative ideas from the real estate, business, technology, and finance communities. Remember how I said we make no small plans? Well, we're dreaming big, and we are inviting you to dream big with us. We want to make this as simple as possible for you to share what you're thinking. So no RFPs, no charrettes. Instead, let's just have a conversation. Whether you're thinking about conferencing space, innovative office concepts, laboratory space, training facilities, or luxe one-of-a-kind amenities, submit your ideas and let's talk about how we can transform the future of healthcare and Chicago together. Here's a little bit of how we see it.
Chicago has inspired great minds to make no small plans. We've built the nation's crossroads on our big shoulders and helped people dream of what's next and then make it real. Today, Chicago is home to some of the world's most innovative and disruptive healthcare enterprises. They're gathered in one special place, the Illinois Medical District. The IMD offers a unique combination of people, place, and potential. In the IMD, entrepreneurs and established leaders work side by side in a collaborative community united in purpose to drive medicine forward. Situated just 10 minutes west of downtown, the Illinois Medical District provides resources and access few cities in the world can offer. Spanning nearly 600 acres, the IMD is home to four major health systems, research labs, universities, and biotech innovators. Our 24/7 environment is easy to access by car, air, and public transit, making it convenient for those who work, live, and spend time in the IMD. plans for exciting amenities include retail, hotel, restaurants, and community gathering spaces. That gave Chicago its start continues today in the Illinois Medical District, where the next generation of visionaries is reshaping the practice of medicine and changing the world.
Thank you. I'm excited to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Let's thank our panelists again. Michael, Andy, and of course, Dr. McKinney. We have a number of questions here, and if anybody else has any questions, just hold up your card. Members of our staff will come around and pick them up. Okay. First question from Terry Nugent, City Club member with Medical Marketing Services, Inc. Please tell us about the district's biotech incubator.
Terry, where are you? In the back. Thank you so much for your question. So the IMD does have a biotechnology incubator located in the district. The incubator has been there for quite some time. In fact, the company that we now know as Amgen actually incubated in the Illinois Medical District. However, once they completed that incubation phase, we did not have all of the amenities that we needed to be able to keep them there. So that's part of the reason why development of so many amenities is a part of our most recent strategic vision and strategy. So our goal around the incubator is to revitalize that incubator, but then also to implement some of the learning that we've done in visiting other incubators and technology and innovation centers. Michael has actually been on one of those visits with me, and create some new energy around that incubator. So stay tuned. I continuously poke our friends over at Matter, so they know I'm coming for them.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for that very good question. This is from City Club member Trevor Peterson. Trevor, where are you? Over here on the left. He's with the Chicago Children's Advocacy Center. What's the... Pardon me?
They're an IMD stakeholder.
An IMD stakeholder. Great. What's the highest priority for the IMD during the next year? The one or two things that'll likely be getting the most attention.
Thank you, Trevor. I think that's a great question. But I also think that the work that we do in the medical district, there are so many people in the communities, in the neighborhoods that are dependent on the work that we do. And because of that, I don't think we have the luxury of selecting one priority or two priorities. As our IMD staff can tell you, I want to do everything. I want to do everything, and I want to do everything now. So as much as I can, that's my goal.
Okay. And... you don't have to answer all these questions. If you want to pass any along to our colleagues, that's fine. This is from Samuel Hampton, City Club member. He's with the Anti-Cruelty Society. Samuel, where are you? Over there. Great. With the development that is occurring in the district, has there been consideration for affordable housing in the area?
The short answer is yes, there have. So I mentioned the Cook County Health and Hospital System has completed their new ambulatory health center. They are also in the process of redeveloping the old Cook County Hospital, and there is a portion of that plan that will include affordable housing. Is anyone from the MB Realty team here today? Okay, so it's the MB Realty team that is conducting that redevelopment and building that affordable housing concept that will be located there.
Okay, thank you. This is from CAN TV's Jim McVain. Jim's right back there. See his hand up.
Another IMD.
You have a lot of friends here, by the way. What is the status of plans to develop broadband infrastructure in the IMD for the benefit of its tenants?
So we're actually implementing an ultra high speed fiber optic network in the IMD. We have launched a couple of pilots, and I'm going to, Greg, raise your hand. So that's Greg Wass. He is our technology strategist, and this is his project that he's leading. So we have a couple of pilots that are going now with a couple of organizations in the IMD that are testing out access to the fiber infrastructure. But we are also folding that fiber infrastructure project into what I just mentioned in the speech, our plan to make the Illinois Medical District a smart district. So now it will be more than just a fiber optic network, but will include additional technologies as well.
Great. Okay. This is from Jenny Han with the Chinese Mutual Aid Association. Jenny, where are you? Okay, right over here. Her question is, in what capacity has modular construction been considered for making pro forma work on any IMD sites? I need a PhD to read some of these questions, particularly in multifamily housing, to help Chicago continue to address the affordable housing crisis.
So Jenny's actually a good friend of mine and an architect, but I'm wondering if Jenny's been talking to Ron Grace, because he hits me with that question all the time. So Jenny, in answer to your question, we have not actually explored the modular housing concept. We've had some concepts brought to us, but as you might imagine, the IMD historically has not been zoned as a place for housing. And so we are working very closely with our partners at the city and exploring ideas with them for how we can do some additional types of zoning in the district. So I hope that helps. If not, we'll discuss it over a manicure.
Okay, excellent. I love it. Great. This is from Mick O'Rourke with the Signature Bank. Mick, where are you? Right down here. Great. He recently read an article in Crain's about the IMD getting rid of bond debt. Can you talk about that and what impact this will have on your future plans?
Absolutely, and Mick, thank you for the question. So let's see, what I will say is, in September of 2015, when I stepped into this role at the IMD, our board said to me, we have $40 million in debt and we need you to figure out how to get rid of it. And I'm looking at Corey, because I looked at them and I said, why didn't that come up in the interview process? But at any rate, yes, the article was in Crain's just a few months ago. I am happy to say that this past year, we raised $40 million and we paid that debt off. What that means is that the IMD is now virtually debt-free, and it positions us much better to be able to participate in the development that's happening in the area, as well as engaging in the public-private partnerships that we're now seeking to do. Thank you.
Great. Great answer. Great question. And by the way, your City Club of Chicago, we sponsor Chicago Tonight on Monday evenings. So make sure you watch Monday evenings in addition to all of the other evenings. This is from Nicole Johnson. Her question is, how do we develop a partnership with the Department of Public Health and CPS to provide mental health services to children experiencing acute trauma? And how would the district be involved in that?
So I would say, you know, I am a public health professional by training. I think some of the most challenging issues that we see in society today, including the need for greater mental health services, are not the responsibility of one department or one field of study or one discipline. But instead, my belief is that we need to take a systems approach. And in full disclosure, I worked for the Chicago Department of Public Health for 13 and a half glorious years, and I am a product of CPS. But, you know, in the public sector, we all experience a number of issues, funding issues and other issues, that don't always make it possible for us to address all of the issues that need to be addressed singularly. So one of the entities that we work with in the medical district is Thresholds, which is a community-based organization that provides mental health services. So in my opinion, it's really a systems approach that we need to take, and not just putting the responsibility on the health department or on CPS or any one particular institution, but rather bringing multiple institutions, and inclusive of the private sector and the social justice system and the criminal justice system, because these types of chronic issues require a multidisciplinary approach.
Okay, thank you very much. Some really good questions today. This is from Catania Raby, who's with CMAP. Catania, where are you?
Over here.
Okay, great. Do you see more work being done in the IMD as something that is replicable? For instance, can the same level of collaboration and innovation be done on the South Side within the Roseland Medical District?
So I just asked Andy if I could ask her to...
Point your question to me? Sure, fine.
That's teamwork.
Just like when they get hard, she's like, no. So I think some of the collaboration we're talking about is including anchors outside of the some of the things I talked about does include anchors outside of the IMD. So the short answer is yes. There are already some collaborations happening in Roseland. So for example, on the question of mental health counseling that Nicole asked, there is last year the city, the county came together to put together a mental health counseling center in the Roseland District so that the police would have some place to take people when they are having mental health issues. So those collaborations are beginning to happen. I think Roseland is you're absolutely right, is a place where that would be a great place to start.
And I would just add that I have spoken to the folks at the Roseland Medical District, and we are working to find some time so that I can share with them some of the same strategies and tools that we're using in the IMD to help them as well. But thank you, Andy, for helping me with
that.
And you take this back to the City Club member, Tim Egan, out there in Roseland, and tell him what you heard here today. Okay? Great. We have a couple last questions. This is from Gina Evans. Gina, where are you? Right over there. She's with a group called Monday Night Mingle. Boy, I'd like to learn more about that one. Her question is... Sounds like a great group, I'll tell you that. How will your plans help people of color on the West Side in the coming years?
That's a great question. I mean, I think both Andy and Michael spoke to that. But what I will tell you is that our goal is to put people to work. To put people to work, not just in jobs that are temporary or might have a short-term impact, but we are looking to put people to work in jobs that are long-term, sustainable, permanent jobs. We're also looking to give people the level of education that they need to have so that they have the opportunity to progress within the organizations where they work. And I think the Evergreen Collaborative that Andy spoke about is also designed to give people the opportunity to build wealth for themselves. I am a fellow this year in Leadership Greater Chicago, and I saw at least one of my LGC colleagues here, and I've said in every session that we've had, this narrative about the South Side and the West Side being the poorer areas of the city, that's been the narrative my entire life. And so now that I am working at an organization where I have a platform to make a difference as a native South Sider and someone who went to school on the West Side, it is my obligation to do so. And so I am fully committed to seeing that through.
And in case anybody's wondering where Dr. McKinney went to school on the West Side, she's a graduate of that famous Whitney Young Magnet High School. Final question. This is from Hugh Williams with MK Asset Management. Talk about a broad question. What does the IMD want to be?
Yeah, I think I said that. We want to be the world's next greatest healthcare and technology innovation district. We want the IMD to be a place where people want to be, where they want to come to live, work, play, learn, and do the other things that enhance their lives and the quality of their lives. And we want the IMD to be a place that is inclusive and creates opportunity for everyone there.
Thank you. Folks, let's give Dr. McKinney, Andy Zopp, and Mike Dierdorf a big round of applause.